This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Neo, the latest game-changing fungicide from Syngenta.
It's day three of social distancing. The kids are having school at home. All activities are canceled. Restaurants are closed. And travel to Canada is now being restricted to essential personnel only. We just had an earthquake near Salt Lake. Locusts are in Africa and the Middle East. And global economies are shutting down. But guess what? Work on the farm will continue. Planning's going to happen. Livestock's going to get fed. We'll figure this out. Don't be discouraged. Now's the time we need you most.
Live from, well, various undisclosed locations via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Chuck Connor, president of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Bob Birdsall and Randy Ermacher. And right after the news, Marky Eckelkamp from AgPro Magazine. I'm less than handsome newsman John Harith, filling in for Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip, the hot stepper himself, Clinton Griffiths.
Hey, what's going on, John? So John and I are in different places, even though we allegedly work in the same office.
Because, we have 6 feet covered.
Yeah, at least. Maybe miles. We're living it just like everybody else, right? So we are in our office, like so many others, are trying to keep our distance from each other, doing our part here. And John, it's been a little surreal this week, I'll have to admit. It's a little different.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, it started Wednesday when it all started feeling like a completely different world. And I went into Meijer, which is a local big box chain, combination grocery store and department store. And there's been battle done in that place.
Ooh, I'll tell you, it's true. I mean, my wife was talking to a cashier at a local store, and he said their sales at their store up about 200-300% compared to a year ago, normal time. So, yeah, we are standing on the edge of something different. Life is a little bit strange right now. And I'll be honest, it is taking its toll on me a little bit mentally, a little bit emotionally. It's just adjusting to it. It's different. And, I know I'm not the only one, right?
Yeah, and that's been a big focus for us at Farm Journal. I mean, we know that everyone is going through the same emotional range that we are, and so we're trying to do all we can while we're dealing with personally also to try to provide as much of a guide map as we can on how to get through all of this and look forward to how it might impact farms and ranches across the country and how they can best react.
Yeah, and I think that's the key here, right? So at the end of the day, we've still got to feed people. We've still got to, the work we're doing now is not for tomorrow. Most of the time, it's for a year from now, right? Or from 6 months from now. And so we've got to keep pushing forward on that. And so some of our conversation today will be, yes, what's happening right now. The other side of that will be like visiting with Chuck Connor, President of National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. How are we going to make sure we're still delivering products out to the farms that need it? Making sure the work continues to get done. We're going to talk to some farmers and discuss, how they're feeling. You know, I saw this meme, however you want to say it, the other day, and it said, what was it? South Dakota social distancing itself since like the 1800s,
yeah,
right?
So 1986, yeah.
So, out in farm country, we're used to a little bit of space between us, right? A little bit of elbow room, as my dad used to say.
And a lot of us feel comfortable that way.
Totally fine with it. In fact, yeah. That's the way I prefer to live my life. But, it is what it is. And so we're used to that. But at the same time, we've got to kind of understand what's going on around us and still get our work done any way that we can.
So. Exactly. The flip side of that is, there are some resource issues in rural America in particular that hopefully don't come to bear as this develops further.
No, and that's exactly right. We're going to have challenges with schools. We're going to have challenges with rural health care. I mean, we're going to have challenges with broadband. Those are issues that we've known about and we've talked about on this show and in many other places for a long time, John. And they haven't gone away. And all of a sudden, they're vitally important, right?
And, Indeed.
And so they've got kind of a razor's edge to them right now. And so that's part of the conversation that as an industry and as people that live in these places, we've got to have real, hard, heartfelt discussions about what are we doing and how are we doing it. Because the other side of that, John, is this: the people most at risk from this are those that are a little higher in age, a little more experienced or seasoned, right? And we know in rural America, that's generally the demographic of the population. And so those two things don't necessarily go well together, even though, you know, these are things we have to talk about. We've got to try to sort through them.
Yeah, but again, as you said, I mean, there is no population that is more resilient and more independent and ready to take on an issue like this than rural America because of you know, how they live every day.
Absolutely. And that's exactly right. I don't have just a balcony to go out of a high-rise apartment. You know, we've got a farm and we've got resources and we've got things hopefully at our disposal to help us kind of cope and get through it. And so I don't worry about our rural areas from that perspective, John. I just think, you know, at the end of the day, we want to keep our job going because it makes a difference, not just for our community, but for the entire world. And so that's what we're going to focus on. How do we keep our job going so that eventually we can continue to feed people? Because once that breaks down, then we've got real challenges, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay, we didn't get to a lot of news. Why don't we bring in Margie Eckelkamp? I think she's on the phone with us right now. And Margie, some of the discussion we're having right now are logistics. And you know, you focus so much on the retail side, and I know that's a conversation happening there.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of policies being published by ag retailers. I've talked to a lot of folks in the industry, and they are emphasizing the health and safety of their employees, but also their farmer customers, particularly in light of that we are heading into one of, if not the, busiest times of year, which is planting.
Absolutely.
So ensuring that the vital inputs that they need to get this crop in the ground and get started with success are given as easy as path forward as possible in light of COVID-19.
Is there any conversation around that, that they're may or could be challenges or, and of course, we're going to talk to Chuck Connor, President of National Council for Farmer Cooperatives next, but are there any indication that we're going to have big time challenges or is it just, you know, an abundance of caution as we've heard that line used a lot?
Yeah, you know, everything is so fluid, Clinton. I had someone share with me that days feel like weeks and weeks feel like months. Because of all the information that we're processing and how we're clearing our paths forward. The thing that I've heard the most about concerns could be one, trucks, especially as the federal government has extended the ability for trucks to deliver emergency medical supplies in light of the pandemic. Some trucking companies, some routes might get deferred away from some products in to those medical necessities or to food, to emergency supplies. The other thing I've heard in terms of how supplies could be affected is there's going to be a long tail here. And we don't know exactly what the future holds, but some folks are sharing that retailers should identify key products that they need to lock in now for later in the season, this fall, and even next year. And why some folks are emphasizing this is that the ag retail industry has really brought down overall inventories as a way to tightly manage their business. And right now it could be making them vulnerable in light of having shorter supplies.
And they are not the only ones that operate in just-in-time scenario, right? So that's manufacturing, that's business all over the country. That's why we have empty store shelves, right? It's all just-in-time. But as we go forward, we're going to have to try to manage our way through some of this. Margie, appreciate it as always. AgPro, if you're looking for an update on what's happening out there in retail, appreciate you as always, Margie. Stick with us. We're going to continue a conversation here on AgriTalk coming up in just a minute.
With high inoculum levels expected this season, applying a fungicide could be the key weapon to fighting off damaging soybean diseases. Once more, I have Wade Eichens, a sales agronomist and location manager for Ag Plus Co-op. Wade, let's talk more about how Miravis Neo fungicide compares to other products that you've used in the past. What differences did you see when your growers applied Miravis Neo?
The one thing that I noticed myself with the Miravis Neo was the fact that it seemed to have longer control and picked up the white mold a lot better. We had fields that were, you could see right to the line, were treated versus untreated. I plan on recommending it, especially going forward on beans, not only just for the fact of We have some fields that we just did for plant health aspect, and those fields look phenomenal. They're consistent all the way across, very minimal disease. So it's going to be my go-to lead fungicide for sure for plant health. But also we saw great control on the disease that we have around the area, especially the white mold. Especially where you have troublesome white mold spots, you can see the difference. And even in fields that are probably very limited history of white mold, we saw a huge difference. There's a field of beans not too far away from my location that's probably a 160-acre field, and it was green from row to row, end to end, and you saw very, very minimal stress spots. It looked like an awesome field of beans.
Thank you, Wade. That was Wade Eichen, sales agronomist and location manager for Ag Plus Co-op. To learn more about Miravis Neo, contact your local retailer or Syngenta sales representative, or visit SyngentaUS.com/Miravis-Neo. Always read and follow label instructions.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact ZR trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Where does harvest begin? At Great Plains, we believe harvest starts when your combine leaves the field. At this exact moment, your fields take on the potential to become something greater. Using sound agronomic principles, we are proud to offer you innovative, high-quality equipment to create opportunities for growth, higher yields, and success, year after year. Since 1976, our products have been built right here at home in the USA, where we've stood by farmers harvest after harvest. Create a lasting legacy on your farm. Visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
Hey Jim, how would you describe our DC Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the DC politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the DC Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Weathering the Storm, a special report focusing on Mother Nature's potential impact on the 2020 growing season, is coming to Ag Day, U.S. Farm Report, and AgriTalk later this month. Brought to you by Pivot BioProven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that stay put, weather or not.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Clinton Griffiths in for Chip Flory today. Before we continue, we have an industry spotlight.
Planting season is almost here, but before you receive your spring fuel delivery, it's important to make sure that your bulk tank is ready. We are talking with Chad Christensen, a premium diesel expert at CHS's Cenex brand. He's got some important tips to help farmers maximize their uptime with some bulk tank spring cleaning. What can go wrong during the winter, Chad?
throughout the winter, there's condensation and there's other contaminants that can really accumulate inside of that tank. And what that's going to do is give those filters wavy pleats and allow for those contaminants to get into your engine.
And obviously, we don't want those contaminants getting into our equipment.
No, they're going to cause downtime, lead to any kind of fuel injector issues.
What do farmers need to do to clean and prepare their tanks for the spring fuel deliveries?
Well, I think there's several easy checks ahead of spring to ensure a smooth planting. I think the easiest is make sure your tank is in the right area on your farm. You want to avoid those low-laying areas or any kind of collection areas. And then simple as inspecting gaskets, pump fittings, vents, and all your fill caps. And if there is water that happened to get in there, make sure you remove that water and drain it off ahead of the planting season. And then just check, you know, going forward for every delivery.
Yeah, and it's best if you can minimize any of the issues to begin with, right? How do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you use a premium diesel fuel like Ruby Fieldmaster or Cenex Roadmaster XL, you're going to minimize a lot of those issues down the road. And we utilize the industry's leading additive package. And specific to the tank maintenance, we offer the demulsifier that's going to push that water to the bottom. We've got aggressive detergents in there that are going to ensure cleanliness from tank storage to those injector tips. And then our storage stabilizer that's going to prevent that fuel from breaking down and costing you time and money.
Gotcha. And, of course, contact your Cenex dealer and have a conversation with them about how to do all of that. Thank you, Chad. That is Chad Christensen, premium diesel expert at CHS's Cenex brand.
All right. Thanks for that. Let's turn over now and visit with Chuck Connor, President, National Council for Farmer Cooperatives. And, Chuck, this has been an interesting couple of days that we've started here.
Well, it is, Clinton. Uncharted territory is what we're in. And, each one of us are minding our work in terms of trying to ensure that everything is going well on the farm. But at the same time, we're looking after our own families, too. And it's just a very unique time.
It is. And I think that part of that is what kind of complicates all of this, right? So we've got to take care of our own families. But at the same time, we still have work to do and work to get done. Talk to us about what's going on out there with our cooperatives. Do we have a way that we're moving forward safely to make sure that we're still serving customers the way we need to?
Yeah, Clinton, I would describe it right now. I hate to use this term, but it is a little bit of business as usual. I think, spring planting is approaching fast. This was going to be a challenging spring for the farm input, business, because last fall, there was limited opportunities to do a lot of that 2020 preparation in the fall. So we knew it was going to be a rush period, as it always is, needing to be well choreographed. Obviously, the coronavirus has thrown some blips into this. As of right now, though, we don't have examples out there where, product is not getting delivered to the farm, as needed. Our fear is what may be coming, obviously, but at this point, to the best of our knowledge, farmers are still being served out there on the supply side. They're getting the fuel, the fertilizer, the feed, and ultimately the seed that they're going to need here in a few weeks to put it in the ground to start this 2020 crop. And that is so important to get that, established and going out there. We don't need another sector of the economy badly hit with coronavirus. We need these crops planted. We need a good and successful 2020 cropping year.
Well, and we talk about the long tail of this, right? Obviously, there will be ripples through the overall economy when you start shutting down things like the restaurants and the food industry, and you start shutting down, some of the travel industry and all those different things. We're going to see ripples through the economy, but one of the last things that we want to see is that the food stops being prepared. And a lot of the work we're doing now is for on down the line.
Well, that's exactly right. And we don't want the tail of this virus to be, carrying over for years to come. And certainly to the extent that it begins to disrupt our ability to produce, an abundant food supply here. The consequences of that obviously become very, very long term, and that's what everybody is trying to avoid. And I'm confident, Clinton, not an alarmist here. We're all concerned, but at the same time, as long as farmers are given the ability and co-ops and other retailers are given the ability to do their work and are given priority for you know, transportation and labor and those kind of things, you know, we'll get that crop planted. It'll be a good crop. There'll be plenty of food for everybody for now and on down the line, no matter what happens in some of these other sectors. And that's important because obviously everybody's got to eat. This is not something you can sort of scale back on, if you will. We may be eating in different, you know, venues, but everybody's right. got to eat, and we just can't do anything that disrupts that.
Absolutely. As we talk about having these discussions and making sure the supplies and things are getting where they need to go, do you have any tips or advice for folks on when they're visiting with some of these, you know, their cooperatives or their suppliers of how to go about setting up those arrangements?
Well, again, I think, you know, everybody's got those business relationships, and I think those are being honored right now. The thing I would just caution folks to be mindful of is obviously as this virus continues to ramp up in the United States, we're looking each day at sort of additional measures that are being put in place, you know, in order to protect and limit the spread of the disease. And that's important, and we need to do that. The caution I would have is that, you know, those protections can't be so broadly interpreted as to impact our ability to get farmers what they need, feed, seed, fertilizer, chemical, fuel, to put this 2020 crop in the ground, because obviously we need the food supply, and we can't do anything to disrupt that food supply.
How had we gotten through, or had we started to move past some of the issues that we had experienced with China and some of the tariffs? I mean, for a year and a half, it seems like that's all we've talked about, right? Some of the trade issues going on there. Do we know if we've kind of starting to work past that, or is it just we have a different focus today?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a different focus. Obviously, the virus itself has impacted our ability to really sort of put this phase one Chinese agreement, you know, fully sort of boots on the ground. There has been a lot happening, and Secretary Perdue has been making important, you know, inroads in terms of what can be done, you know, long distance wise for the agreement. You know, all those things are being done, but just in terms of the commerce itself happening, we haven't seen a lot of that yet. And I think we can lay that at the feet of the coronavirus. So it is having an effect on China and other trade opportunities. You know, so even before the virus was detected in the United States, obviously it was impacting us. Prices were low because we weren't seeing the pop in exports. Right. So we had it, and now, you know, we're sort of seeing that effect continue with the virus spreading throughout the U.S. as well.
You know, we've obviously been talking about the weather since last year, 20 million acres of prevent plant around the country, a lot of that right through the heart of the Corn Belt and through the Plain States. You know, as we get going here this spring, weather is still one of those concerns, right? We've still got to get some field work done. We didn't get done last year. Some places still need to harvest if they haven't been able to get out in the field. So we're a long ways from getting this crop done or even started.
I mean, again, it was going to be a very challenging spring no matter what. And your heart just goes out, Clinton, to those poor guys that are trying to, you know, go out there and harvest corn literally and turn around and, you know, try and put another crop in the ground almost immediately. I mean, I'm not even sure how that happens, honestly. But you know, all kinds of challenges. You know, we don't need any more challenges thrown into this mix. It's a well-choreographed affair that agriculture has been through, you know, in other challenging years. But let's don't add anything more to it with, you know, restrictions and inability of farmers to get what they need. And I would add on that, you know, if you're livestock, you need the feed. If you're dairy, you need the assurance that your milk's going to get picked up. I mean, those are all important things that fall into this mix of we've got to treat agriculture really as a national security issue. We need the food. We can't afford to do anything that impacts our ability to produce food. Otherwise, the tail of this virus really starts extending for many years, and we just can't have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there are so many things that we still have to sort out in the next coming weeks, coming months. One of the things that I'm really trying to focus on with myself and with those around me is that we treat people right, right? There's going to be frustrations. Yeah. There's going to be hiccups and challenges along the way and in the supply chain and in everything that we're trying to do. But ultimately, we have to treat each other the right way and get through this. And so that to me is something to focus on. Chuck, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sign in and start earning at MyBearPlus.com.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number 2 diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number 2. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit Valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
All right, let's pick it up with Brian Grady, editor of Pro Farmer, with a look at what's going on in markets. And we hate to even ask, Brian.
Well, it's not all bad, Clinton. I'll start with the good stuff this morning. The wheat market, it's on fire today. We saw HRW futures lead us up yesterday. And kind of a mixed finish for SRW contracts, but we've got the HRW leading to the upside again today. The SRW is participating. Even spring wheat futures are trading to the upside this morning.
Great.
So that's a positive. There's no real news there. European wheat futures are headed higher the past couple days, and HRW contracts have decided to follow there. The soybean market, it's trading with a firmer tone. Meal is showing the bulk of the strength there in the soy complex. Actually, oil is under some pressure, so we got quite a bit of spreading action going on in the product market this morning. And then the corn market, that's the disappointment and the real negative story in the grain and soy markets. Under pressure, new contract lows, ethanol struggles, and those concerns are really weighing on that market. Basis is falling apart because of it, and just real negative in the corn market right now.
Yeah, that's what we're starting to hear is some of that basis falling apart. Some of the ethanol plants talking about closing down. What about on the livestock side, real quick, Brian?
Well, the cattle market was pretty impressive this morning in that it was trading counter to the stock market. Stock market's under heavy pressure again. We are seeing some strength still in the front month live cattle futures, but the deferred months have backed off and are under some pressure. Basically, the same thing going on in hogs with the front month April contract trading sharply higher and then some pressure in deferred months.
All right. Well, we'll count on you to keep us posted on what's happening. Stick with us, everyone. We've got our Farmer Forum coming up next on AgriTalk.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Just want to remind everyone our Farmer Forum is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement. America's Conservation Ag Movement is a national partnership designed to help all U.S. farmers more rapidly scale the adoption of conservation agriculture and its economic and environmental benefits to farmers and their communities. This year alone, farmers can expect to benefit from conservation ag stories, information, and resources, including hundreds of print pages, TV spots, radio segments about the topic, some nationally published workbooks, development of peer-to-peer sharing networks and local events, and public, if we get there, and public outreach sharing the story of farmer stewardship of soil, water, and air, the voice of the farmer garden on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Of course, things changing rapidly across the country as we deal with what's been going on in the news. More importantly at hand is the coronavirus and what that means for the agricultural industry. Here to help kind of discuss some of that and talk us through a little bit of it today on our Farmer Forum, we've got Bob Bertzel, Missouri, Randy Ermacher of Nebraska. Thank you both for being with us here today.
Good morning.
Thanks, Clinton.
Absolutely. Bob, let's talk about Missouri, because Missouri seems to be handling this a little bit different so far.
Yes, we seem to be going at it a kind of with your head on your shoulders type deal, not doing a lot of knee-jerk reaction stuff. You know, our local school was is closing down until April 3rd and then reevaluate. You know, they're not closing down for months on end, and it seems like they're doing the rest of the stuff that way also.
Yeah, we know some states, I believe Kansas has closed school for the rest of the year. There are some other states discussing that. Here in northern Indiana, our schools have closed down till after. We have a late spring break, so till at least April 10th and maybe beyond. Randy, what about there in Nebraska? How is the mood? What are folks talking about?
Well, you're talking about schools. We got the memo yesterday that schools will be closed for 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, if you look at the calendar, 8 weeks puts us to the end of the season. They're prepping to go online learning. And I think they're having each family come in and take a packet home so their children can learn from home remotely, and I kind of expect this to be the end of the school year here.
It seems like that may be the case in a lot of places. Bob, as you start to talk about spring and obviously everything that goes along with prepping our fields and our keeping livestock fed, where's your head at right now?
We're right in the heart of calving season right now, so busy with that. We're wet, you know, and they're talking wet for the next couple of weeks, so there's not going to be any early field work done. Some guys in the area did get out and get some anhydrous put on there last part of February. It was starting to get kind of dry, but you could see where they was finding seep holes and tracking a lot of mud out on the roads whenever they left the field. So I don't know if it would have been the wise thing to do or not.
Of course, yeah, we're trying to, every chance we get, trying to get ahead of it. After last year, you know, it seemed like any window we could find, we were trying to use it. It seems like that mentality has kind of stuck with us a little bit. What about Randy there in Nebraska? What's how are things shaping up?
Yeah, about the same way. It's wet, and there's no field work. This week has been rainy and foggy all week, so we're just on hold with the field work part until it dries out. Have been business as usual as far as hauling corn and preparing for the next year. We get all of our herbicides today, so hopefully, you know, we don't have any hiccups with our supply of fertilizer and herbicides and stuff like that because of this coronavirus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you had any interesting conversations with some of the folks either bringing or dropping that stuff off or supplying you guys.
So far, that's been business as usual.
Okay.
But, you know, that part is, you know, you have very little contact with other people, so that type of stuff just keeps going.
Yeah, just keep moving forward. Bob, on the cattle side, obviously, you know, cattle prices it's been tough. I mean, we've seen some of these livestock prices move. What's your thoughts there? Where's your head at on it?
Well, I think it's a major, you know, it's a major overreaction. It's just, everybody's went panic mode, which is the worst thing you can ever do. You know, that's one thing about being a farmer. You learn that panicking is the quickest way to get yourself in trouble.
Right.
I was thinking the other day, well, it was just yesterday, we need somebody like, I don't know, some, you may not be old enough, but Mr. Mom,
mm-hmm.
You remember that movie?
I do, actually,
Bumblebee Tuna said that they was going to lower the prices. Well, we needed some of these packers to jump in and say, we understand things are going good for us. We'll raise our prices for a while.
Right.
But they won't do it, but it's always a good thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is interesting to try to put this in some sort of context, right? Like, what would you compare this to in things that you've been through in the past? And Randy, I mean, what thoughts are you having as you're there on the farm? I can hear birds in the background.
Yeah, I'm sitting out. I just had my truck loaded, and spring is here. The birds are chirping. I'm just sitting with the door open on the truck, waiting for to take the next load into town. But yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just everything else keeps moving, so we just have to keep moving with it, and we can't let the supply chains, you know, run empty. It's part of everyone's job to make sure, you know, we have the essentials, and we are one of part of the group that, produces the essentials of life, and we just have to keep on.
Yeah, it sounds like I can hear resolve from both of you to make sure that continues and moves forward. Hey, one of the things that the Fed did last weekend was interest rates. I mean, they pushed those back down to zero to 0.25. Bob, do you guys think about that and how that might impact farming and things going forward?
Well, I'm afraid that the way that the farmers are leveraged, that the banks aren't going to lower, you know, just out of won't lower their rates just because of the risk that's where we are in right now with the way that everything is going.
Yeah, interesting. What about you, Randy?
Yeah. I don't know. This whole economy's got me really scared. The interest rate reduction is going to help, and some of the stimulus things they're doing are going to help. But man, it's just putting brakes on this economy, and I'm worried that this may last for years. You know, the ramifications of all this.
You know, and I start to think about and worry about some of the folks that, you know, kind of maybe they work at a restaurant. They rely on tips, you know, and those restaurants are shut down now, and they're not able to have that kind of customer base. And so, what are those folks going to do? I mean, the tail on this thing is you start to look out can be really long. I don't know, Bob. What do we do, or how do you think rural communities will go about handling this?
Well, right now everybody seems to be going. You know, we're trying to be careful, but everybody's trying to live just like it was, live like normal. So, you know, some of the restaurants have closed down. We're close to Maryville, Missouri. I haven't been over there for since it's really got nasty. I don't know what it was like. Now, last Saturday, we was in St. Joe, and restaurants were full, and everybody was running around, and did step into the Hy-Vee there in St. Joe just for grins to see what was going on. paper towels and toilet paper was all gone, and disinfecting stuff was pretty well wiped out, but everything else seemed to be, you know, didn't get back to the meat counter to see what it looked like, but everything else seemed to be in, you know, pretty well normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Randy, in your corner of Nebraska, how's the healthcare system there? I know some rural places, you know, they've whittled away a lot of the support.
We're in a town that has a decent healthcare system.
Great.
You know, with the hospital and stuff. I do know my mother had some surgery on Monday, and they were limiting the people going in and out of the hospital, so we didn't even go up there. And then I think they're scanning or screening everyone now going in and out to, you know, do the best they can to keep this out of, you know, the medical field and keep everybody safe.
Well, as we kind of move forward this year, what hot topics or what do you keep on your top of your radar, Bob, as you go into the next month here? What are you going to be watching for?
Just going to watch your P's and Q's and just kind of see what's happening. Hopefully, kind of like Randy says, we're worried about how the tail is going to, how long the tail is going to last. But one thing about it, we are in the food producing business and everyone's got to eat. So hopefully everybody can keep it together and none of the farmers get walloped too bad with these market swings, and everybody can keep everything together and go for another year.
Yeah, and Randy, what about for you? What's hot on your mind here for the next month?
Well, right now it's looking they talk, possible disruptions in the supply chain and stuff like that. So, we want to keep a look on, are all the farmers getting all their supplies? Are all the crops going to get planted, with the markets the way they are? And all the problems we have with wet weather and corn still to be harvested and possible supply chain disruptions, guys may just...
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Protect diesel engines with premium Senex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Senex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Senex is a brand of CHS.
Tom Hemisath is from State Center, Iowa.
We didn't have as much sudden death syndrome this year as we have had in years past, and part of that's just because we've covered lots of acres with Olivo. We had a couple of growers that elected to not treat seed at the end of the year because of the late planting, and those areas did show some sudden death syndrome. So we did see it appear in fields and reduce yields. The thing we notice on Olivo beans year in and year out is we maintain plant health throughout the growing season, and we allow that plant to fully express its genetic potential. The cis nematodes are something that we deal with in this area. It's an invisible pest that has chronic effects on the crop, and we just don't notice those effects when we have Olivo-treated beans. Olivo is a really critical component in our operation. I think it just takes a couple of issues off the table and allows the full yield potential to be reached.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Olivo is a registered trademark of BASF, all rights reserved. At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. Clinton Griffiths in the chair today for Chip Flory. And when we left, we were visiting with Randy Ermacher and Bob Birdsall. And Randy, you were talking a little bit about your focus for the next month or so. Before we go back there, you know, it was about a year ago that we had that big bomb cyclone that went through kind of Nebraska, Iowa, that area, and started all that flooding and all those issues. How does this year feel compared to last year at this time?
Boy, I don't know. It's very similar. You know, I remember being on this show the day that all started, and I kind of alluded to what could happen with all the snow we had on the ground and all the rain that we were having. You know, it made a mess. And I was glad that it's all, you know, I guess I shouldn't say all behind us, but, you know, the weather part is behind us. And now about the same time period, a year later, this all starts. And I'm beginning to think March isn't a good time to be around as a farmer in Nebraska. So I don't know.
Yeah. That was last year. I mean, we were having a cold winter, and it was one of the wettest winters on record. And then you have that on top of it, and that just started to cascade, and it went all the way down into Missouri, Bob. How is it feeling there compared to a year ago?
Well, the guys over on the river, you know, they're still battling it. I feel sorry for them. You know, this is a little different than what that was, because that was a local effect, where this is national and worldwide. You know, I feel for those guys on the river, and, you know, they may not get anything planted this year with not getting the levees and not being able to get crop insurance, or if they can get crop insurance, it's unaffordable because the levees aren't fixed. And just on Twitter there, someone, while the ad was on, you know, the guys are talking, you know, those guys, how many prevent plant acres is there going to be, because the corn markets, you know, the markets aren't giving us the incentive to go ahead and push the envelope.
Yeah, well, and that's right. And we know USDA, they come out with their expectations of 94 million acres for corn, and soybeans somewhere around, that 84 area, 86, 87. What have you changed your opinion on what to plant? And Randy, we'll start with you.
No, I have not. I pretty much, I mean, we're in a rotation, and I've never been any good at second guessing what everybody else is.
Me either.
Do. So I just stay in my normal rotation with maybe, you know, slightly changing a few things once in a while. But no, I haven't changed any of my plans yet.
Yeah, and obviously, Bob, you know, you're right. There's got to be an incentive there to go ahead and put those crops in. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about and we've talked about over the last year or so is this MFP. You know, we did one, we did a 2.0. Now there's still rumblings and talk about an MFP 3.0. I know some of the cattle groups have called for an MFP for cattle. Where do you sit on that?
We would rather have the markets like always, but
yeah.
Whenever you've got things out that, you know, we're trying to do everything right, and you have so many external factors that's keeping putting you under pressure. You know, it helps. I hate to take it, but, you know, things are so tight right now that every dollar helps.
Well, and I know in my own anecdotal experience just talking with folks at the different winter meetings, you know, for some of them, that payment was what changed their balance sheet from red to black. Now, it wasn't a lot black, but that was the only thing that made the difference. You know, Randy, what do you think?
I'm like Bob. You know, I'm not a fan of them, but, you know, if they have to do it because of unforeseen circumstances like this to, you know, save some people from, you know, going bankrupt, you know, I guess it is what it is. But I would much rather see, you know, the markets do their job and we run off of a 100% free market system.
Yeah, well, and that would be, I think, a lot of folks' wish is that the market would be a pure driver of demand and it would ask you to produce and you would produce because that's what kept you in business. Obviously, there have been so many external factors to that it's hard to call it a pure market at this point. Fuel side, I mean, that is one silver lining here. Some of the fuel costs have gone down a little bit. Randy, will that make a difference for you this spring?
Well, we had already loaded up on fuel earlier this winter when it went down the first time. And now I'm looking at that going, well, maybe that wasn't such a wise choice. But, you know, the futures have gone down dramatically. But I was talking to our fuel supplier, and the cash price still hasn't dropped as much as the futures price has. You know, so there's a basis correction in that for what we do have to buy. But, yeah, it's another 20, 30 cents lower now than where we loaded up at.
Yeah, what do you think, Bob?
Well, we contracted a little bit. We don't have a lot of on-farm storage, so we contracted through the local jobber. But we've contracted about half of it and may go ahead and step in and contract some more here, see, kind of let things level out and see what happens and get another half, you know, at least a third of what our projected needs will be through the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we kind of wrap up here today, Randy, I'm going to let you have the last word since we missed a little bit of that before we went to the last break. Your thoughts on kind of where we sit over the next 4 weeks or so?
Well, we just have to have some common sense, not panic, and do the best we can to keep this virus from, you know, continuing to spread. Just use your heads, you know, and not let it get to you and let you do anything, you know, drastic. So.
Well, I appreciate you both for joining us here on AgriTalk and being part of the Farmer Forum. Obviously, there's a lot to digest, a lot of things happening in the world, in our country, in our own communities that we're trying to work our way through, not only from a mental standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint. And I think that's great advice. Keep a level head. See what you can do to try to be calm and collected. Think through these issues. Have a backup plan. Work forward. It's a challenge. And it's an unprecedented challenge, one that many of us have never seen in our lifetimes and hopefully we'll never see again. Everybody stay strong out there. Work hard. We'll talk to you again
tomorrow. Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly? Or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Miravis Neal Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Neal or visit the Miravis Neal webpage. Always read and follow label instructions.